Shalom, Saints. Welcome back to another episode of The Upper Room, where we loose and bind biblical topics, wade into deep waters. This is our safe space in which we can share to build, encourage, and edify the body of Messiah. So once again, much obliged for you for taking the time to join us once again. It's always a privilege to be here. Now, my guest on today's episode, it's always a privilege to be in her company. I'm always super comfortable in the knowledge that there's always going to be something on her heart ready to share and dive deep into. And no stranger to the upper room. Hazel, shalom sister, shalom. Welcome. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm well, thank you. Well.
Excellent.
Hallelujah.
So, there's any manner of topics that you could easily dive into, I'm sure. But if you could just share with the guys today what you've been led into, what you feel like you'd like to share and discuss on today's episode.
This kind of came about, I mean, I think it was something brewing for a while in my spirit to talk about prayer. But when I was reading Matthew 26, a verse in particular stood out, and I just then started having like all of these thoughts about things that I want to share, and then I was like, oh, I need to contact Derek because I can share them on the podcast. So today I just want to focus on the importance of prayer. We can talk about, you know, what are the limitations, what stop us from praying, why we should pray, how much we should pray, different kinds of prayer. Like, we can just delve into the whole topic.
Amazing. And for me, this is part of the beauty, or not just part of the beauty, one of the essences of what I really appreciate about being able to do this is when we meet in Shabbat and social occasions, we may not have the opportunity to be able to like really like go into a topic in that much depth. So from a selfish perspective, it's good just to get the floor and be able to just jump right in there. Prayer, obviously like a vital component to our spiritual diet. Not even a component, it's a foundation to pretty much everything that takes place in our walk. So I'd be really interested to get your insights into these elements, and hopefully, or not even hopefully, I'm sure that there'll be people out there who will be greatly blessed and encouraged by it. So I know where to pray without ceasing. I'm not supposed to talk without ceasing. So if you could get us going on where you'd like to kick off.
The quote that you brought was very good. The thing is, there's so many quotes on this subject. So like, I didn't do an exhaustive list of quotes. I just don't want to hammer people with the Bible, you know, because sometimes prayer is an area we struggle in, you know. So I just kind of want to go about this in a gentle way for everyone. Yeah, so basically I'll start with Matthew 26:41. We can read the text now if you want, and then...
By all means. Show that up. I'll tell you, we'll...
start with that, and then... because it's basically Yeshua, Jesus, and, you know, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's contemplating what he's about to suffer. He's struggling with submitting to his Father's will. He's got his disciples with him, and he's asking them to stand with him in prayer in that time. So yeah, if you would, do you mind?
Yeah, so was it
26:41.
Yeah, so watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
So when I read this, it's like a few things came to mind. Basically, he's given a reason why they should pray. So it's kind of like saying, if you don't, it's more likely you're going to enter into temptation. It's more likely you're going to sin ultimately. you know? And I think this is quite profound because Peter was one of the people he was speaking to. And Peter was actually, because when I was reading this, I got the picture, you know, Yeshua is struggling, even though he's like the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, you know, he was in a fleshly manner. He took on flesh. It says he struggled with every kind of temptation that we endure, but he didn't sin. So he was going through that sense of this is really difficult. I'm going to have to go through all of this. And he was praying and he was praying. And he was praying, I believe, in order that he could have the strength that he needed to go through what he needed to go through the next day, right. You know? So I think he was encouraging the disciples to also be praying so that they could endure what they were about to go through the next day.
Right, okay.
But unfortunately, they didn't. I mean, we don't know they didn't pray at all. We just know they fell asleep. That happens a few times. Yeshua comes and finds them sleeping. And he's like, could you not just pray 1 hour with me? So I believe that it's difficult this because Yeshua did prophesy to Peter that he was going to deny him 3 times. So it's kind of like that was before they went to Garden of Gethsemane. But I also thought that maybe if Peter had have prayed like as much as Yeshua did, maybe he wouldn't have fallen into that right. sin the next day.
Sure.
Because you know? Maybe he would have had the spiritual strength not to do that. But either way, it's just showing that I think the importance of prayer so that we can have the spiritual strength to endure any persecution, to endure. I think it's so profound for this time we're living in, because a couple of years ago I was focusing very much on the fact we're in the end times and what can I do, you know, like what should I be doing, should I be prepping, you know, what kind of preparation should I be making. And you know, different people be led to different things. Some people get land, some people, you know, but one of the things the Father's had me focus on the most is the preparation we need to be doing the most is like the spiritual preparation.
Right.
That we have enough oil to make it through the night. And that really, like you said, prayer is the foundation. It's like the lifeblood of our faith. It strengthens us and it builds that like communication and that relationship with our Father. So I think one of the things I wanted to share and really focus on is the fact of the spiritual preparation for persecution is one aspect of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I pick up on as you start on that theme is there can be a direct response to that in the sense that well, our prayers are almost a prevention measure or something that will protect us from things happening, but that isn't necessarily the case. I think the emphasis on the word endurance, as you mentioned there, to endure. Like our prayers as a prevention isn't necessarily a ticket to making things not happen or to stop things from taking place. It's are we giving ourselves the best possible chance and foundation to be able to, like you say, have the lamps topped up to the point whereby when difficulty and tribulation, whether it's personal or whether it's from a collective point of view, do we have the resource spiritually to be able to endure and persevere in times of difficulty? Whereas, like you said, you use Peter as the example. Peter may not have necessarily have had, you know, it wouldn't necessarily meant if he had prayed hypothetically, it doesn't mean to say he's not going to have people asking him to deny Yeshua. It still would have taken place. But, you know, I know this is all ifs, buts and maybes, but however, like using that example, would he have had maybe more of a fortitude a spiritual fortitude to be able to deal with these things differently?
Yes. That's exactly what I mean. It's like it's not prayer to prevent occurrences of, you know, many things are out of our control. It's almost like the prayer will help us to respond to the circumstances in the way we should. We can't control what happens around us usually. Right. But the way what we can control is how we react to it. And it's that reaction is whether we do well or we fall into sin.
Right.
And it was Peter's reaction in that moment that mattered. It was Yeshua's reaction that mattered in that moment he was going through. At any moment on that cross, he could have just obliterated everyone and come down, you know, or any moment when he was being humiliated, beaten, mocked. He's not like he was actually a victim. This is what struck me once. It's like, it was mind-blowing, you know. Some of us may have to endure things and we have no choice but to endure it, but he had a choice where he could have just called thousands of angels and completely just not gone through that. So that was, I think, why he was struggling with it. He was like trying to make himself in that place of complete submission to undergoing this, so that when he was going through the pain, going through all of the suffering, he could just be in that mind frame where he's like, I'm going to keep going because of the joy that lies ahead of me in redeeming us. But that's kind of, I guess, a whole nother avenue. But with a prayer as well. So it's like the first thing was, you know, the reason why we should pray. He's saying, lest you enter into temptation. So it's got a sense of spiritually strengthening us to be able to react the way we should as a spiritual preparation. But then also, he also talks about when he finds him sleeping and he comes back to them and he says, could you not just watch with me for 1 hour? And I found this interesting because when you're looking at the subject of prayer and the subject of the length of our prayers, there's not a lot of, you know, like you mentioned, pray without ceasing is one quote, but there's not a lot of guidance almost
right.
on what is a good
There's not necessarily a qualification or quantification where unlock miracle level 10 if you do 10 hours. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not, I don't think there's an open and cut case for what qualifies or quantifies, because, you know, you've got the heart and the quality of, you know, Yeah, so sorry, carry on.
No, it's fine, yeah. So when I was looking at this, it was kind of like, here's something. Because it's kind of highlighting the fact that Yeshua's expectation was for them to at least spend 1 hour with him
right.
watching and praying.
Right.
So if his expectation for his disciples 2,000 odd years ago was that, I feel like that's kind of like the same kind of expectation he would have upon us.
Yeah.
In this, as always, his disciples ultimately following him. So I think that gave a good indication of like what he wants from us. And it's difficult when it comes to formulas. I don't want to be too like say this is the formula.
Right.
You know, but I did notice there was something in that. And I guess where I want to go now is basically the difficulty people would find in getting an hour to pray. And this is where you start talking about the limitations, like what is it that prevents us from prayer? Most of us as believers kind of know that we should be praying more.
Right.
And it's like, but there's many reasons that justify not doing it. There's like, most commonly, it's like, I don't have time. You know, my life's so busy.
Right.
This is going on. I've got to focus on this. I'm tired. Like, it's almost like, oh, it's too much. You can't expect that of me. Like, but this is interesting thing because it comes down to time management ultimately. Because when I really look at, say in my life, you know, there would be once upon a time I'd probably say the same thing. And the only difference from me then, like the younger me and me now, is I stop saying I don't have enough time.
Right.
Literally, you just go, okay, these limits are in my mind ultimately, because when you really look at it, it's like, I say I don't have time, but I'm spending an hour scrolling through Facebook.
Right.
I say I don't have enough time, but I'm watching a movie for 2 hours. I say I don't have enough time, but I'm going for a coffee with my friend. So in reality, we do have the time. It's just how we choose to spend it.
Right.
And this is like, it's a big topic in itself.
Yeah. And I think that comes with a lot of discipline as well and self-control to be able to organize yourself and allocate and create that not create, but be in that discipline to the point where it becomes routine and habitual. And I just want to ask you on the notion, because you mentioned there at the beginning about the fall into temptation through lack of prayer. So do you think that the weakness that one would perhaps cultivate through a lack of prayer would then mean that you are more inclined to be in the flesh when it comes to situations occurring, so that that would lead to sin, whether it be like in your heart or externally? Is that kind of what you think he's alluding to in this, what Yeshua is alluding to, in the sense that, like, lest you fall into temptation, because you are going to be more inclined to be operating in the flesh as opposed to the spirit when it comes to your daily stuff, because you aren't exercising that discipline to harvest the spirit in your life on a kind of daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, there's two aspects of that come to mind. Like, one is, you mentioned self-discipline, like self-control. It's a fruit of the spirit you're exercising. And so, yes, you will be more in the spirit, and you will. But really, I want to just zoom out here, because really the bigger picture is that we in this life, in this flesh, in this realm, are 24/7 in a spiritual war. Right. This is what it comes down to. We're spiritually in a war. There's a war going on around us. From the moment we're born to the moment we die, the enemy is trying to get us to fall into sin, derail us, stop us reaching our potential, stop us walking in our destiny, our purpose that God has called us to. And our Father is trying to do the opposite. He's trying to direct us and guide us and strengthen us. And so ultimately, the more we pray, the more we are aligned, the more we're strengthened, the more we're receiving from him, the more we're going to actually fulfill our purpose and actually walk in truth and righteousness. And the more it's like, the more we're apathetic, the more we even just take a step back, we're giving more opportunity to the enemy to derail us.
Right.
Ultimately.
And ultimately to fall asleep. As yeah. Yeshua says.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Spiritual slumber.
Okay, so you talked about like the these elements of things that get in the way in life. And these things may not necessarily even be sinful in themselves. It's just life. It's just things that need to be done. And responsibilities and tasks, not necessarily, yeah, but if we're not, if we don't have perhaps like a routine or a set discipline when it comes to the foundation of our prayer life, it can dwindle. And I can personally attest to that. I can speak from a personal experience where if I don't have, particularly in the morning, a routine by which I start my day in prayer, then forget about praying without ceasing. It's like that conversational element between how I'm conversing with Yah throughout my day then dwindles because it hasn't started right. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, Hazel, what looks good? How does one go about setting a good precedent for their prayer diet almost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. I just want to pick up on something you said as well, because it really resonates. That it's basically like, I want to maybe bring this down to a relational aspect of when you're in a friendship, or even in a relation would be more appropriate probably. Let's say you're courting or something, you're getting to know a person, and you know you have a deep, good conversation. And then, because you've done that, you've broken the ice. You couldn't just sort of turn to the main time and say something. You don't have to then, it's easy, you know? It's not right. Like it feels awkward or it doesn't naturally happen. It naturally happens. So I feel like that's kind of the way, like you mentioned. And I want to just clarify and disclaimer that different routines of prayer will work for different people, and even different routines for the same person at different times. We have to be sensitive to the spirit, and we can get a little bit too much like this is the protocol, and that itself can sort of quench the spirit. So we do have to be careful with not, I'm not saying everyone do this, you know?
No, I get you. And I think also with that disclaimer, I think it's important when you look at the protocol when it comes to even from a wider perspective of what it means to enter in, you know, to be in the presence of God, to enter in the Holy of Holies, to be in the intimate place, to really go into that priestly protocol of what it means to be in the presence of God, whether corporately or individually. So when we're talking about being familiar and being talking on a friendly basis, this isn't to negate the essence of that protocol, because it's very, very vast and big. But at the same time, Yeshua says, you know, he's our friend. And to talk, like you say, to have that familiarity throughout the day, to be able to converse, it's like, I want to converse to my friends and my family, and I get joy from it. So why would I not have that same expectation and excitement to talk to, like, the creator of the universe in my day? Like, what an amazing prospect.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that comes down to more the content of the prayer. And one thing we learn from the Lord's Prayer, you start with reverence. You know, our Father who is in heaven, he's in heaven. Hallowed be your name. You know, your name's holy. We honor him. We never become too casual, because he is, you know, he is sovereign. And when you come into the presence of a king, you're not just like, hey,
you made the sun come up again. Nice one.
And also, like you mentioned, I think something about giving thanks, you know, we enter, that psalm is so relevant to prayer times. So if you want to enter into his presence, and ultimately, if you enter in his presence, then you're more likely to receive your prayers. It's just like, it's better to enter in his presence and then to get into prayer, you know? Right. So then to follow that protocol of entering his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, especially in the morning, I feel like it's very appropriate. And there's actually a Jewish prayer, Modeani, that's like the first thing all Jews say in the morning. And it's like, I try and do it as well. It's like basically just translates as, you know, I thank you. I thank you for restoring my soul within my body, because, you know, asleep we go into a slumber, a kind of death it signifies, and then he rises us up, and it's like, thank you for the day, thank you for breathing life into me again, and then you're really setting the tone right for the day. You know, I will say one thing, when I don't do my prayers properly in the morning, I notice the difference the whole day. The whole day things will start going wrong, and by the end of it I'm like, why is everything going wrong today? And then I remember, I didn't do my proper prayers this morning.
Right, so. And that, again, that highlights what we were talking about at the beginning. Just because you didn't pray, did that necessarily mean all those things weren't going to take place? I mean, chances are they were. That was always going to happen. But were you prepared for that to do so? I think I'm completely with you on the morning aspect. I know some people aren't morning people. Some people like to do their study and prayer in the evening, and there's no rules. But there are a couple of psalms that do refer to you know, meeting the Most High in the morning. You know, I'll be at your gates waiting, you know, and it's that kind of first love. You know, if you're waking with your spouse and you're happy to see them, and you're giving thanks for being, like, you know, it's relational. So you know, it's like, if my child, you know, one day, Yah willing, I have one, is wakes up and they're excited to see me and be with me and talk with me, you know, that's going to be pleasing. So why would it not be pleasing to him to be the same? Okay, so with that being said, any practical tips, not tips, but any practical ways, and what good looks like in terms of having that discipline and that prayer life cultivated in that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it comes down, I mean, we have to focus on the time aspect of it, because that is the most thing that comes to people's minds when they think of, oh, you know, I'm being asked to pray for an hour. It's like straight away, you're like, I don't have the time, you know. So I want to just like highlight the time aspect, time management. Basically, most of us work. So that is kind of, we allocate that time, our shift, that's what we're doing, right? We might get 5 minutes to say a small prayer, but it's not ultimately in our control, that time we give to doing our work. And that's good and that's right. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, many things in the Bible speak against idleness. So, but anyway, yes. Yeah, so the real control we have is in the morning and the evening for most of us. Some people work night shifts, you know, there'll be differences here, but generally speaking. So we have control over the first thing in the day and the last thing at night, over how we spend our time. And we have control over when we sleep. So that's important, both aspects, because it's important if you want to do midnight prayers, because you control when you sleep, then you stay awake. It's important if you want to do morning prayers, because then you have to get up. Most people go through this kind of routine where, you know, they have to go to work, they get up with only enough time to maybe have some breakfast, go out the door. And that is where, if you want, and really I hope people do want to spend that hour with the Father, you have to be disciplined about when you're sleeping. You know, you have to set that alarm with that time that you can then spend that hour. And like we keep mentioning, different things will work for different people, but what I've experienced is it's like, you know, you have to be, make a decision to do it. I'm not really a morning person.
Right.
I mean, I am better now than I used to be. The maturity has helped. But a lot of young people, you know, might be listening to this and they're not morning people. It's kind of, I don't know, I think it's wired into youth to be more of a night person somehow. So some people may find it difficult waking up in the morning. But basically it's like, here's the thing. In the morning, if you get into the right circadian rhythm, which requires, you know, setting a rhythm to your day, meal times, exposure to sunlight, you know, darkness, not having lots of light last thing at night, then you fall into a circadian rhythm. And then actually the first thing in the morning is when you have the most energy. You have like a release of cortisol that kicks you into action.
Right.
So then the thing that I started with evening prayers, like just kind of after dinner kind of prayers. And the thing is that they're okay, but ultimately, if you're working and you're busy, you're running out of energy at that point. You know, you may have eaten, you may be sleepy, and so you can go into prayer, like bedtime prayers, and it lasts 5 minutes and you're asleep. You know? So it's like, okay.
My bedtime prayers absolutely suck. Now, on what you're saying, I think let's just cut to the chase, right? Screen time. If we're talking about distractions and what the enemy uses terms of the what pulls us away from that pursuit. Now, again, you may or may not be watching things that are good or bad, fruitful, indifferent, whatever. In terms of what you said there about the circadian rhythm and your body's natural intuition towards being in tune with nature and the seasons and the time of the day and all of that stuff. Chances are, if you are looking at your phone or a screen first thing in the morning or last thing at night, you aren't going to be giving yourself the best possible chance to wake up in that natural state of being ready for the day and being ready to engage with what the Most High has for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Like, is that the case, like, when you're waking up or you're just like, right, Instagram stories, da-da-da-da-da? And I'm saying all of this because I'm talking from personal experience of having done both sides of the coin, where I've been so spiritually disciplined where I'm getting up at 5:30 and I'm praying for an hour before I've even like looked in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I can struggle to get up 10 minutes before I'm due to leave the house. So I'm not having a go at people, but it says to meditate on the word morning and night. And I don't think the Lord's doing it to punish or to discipline us. It's for our betterment. So I think you make a really interesting point there, where it's like, are you giving your body the best chance of engaging in a rhythm that is suitable to be able to have that thirst and desire to be ready for engagement first and foremost with the Father and what He has in store for you, and then when you go out into the world, you're just like, boom, I'm ready to go. So that would be my challenge to those who are, particularly if you're single, if you're younger, you're in the faith, you don't have much responsibility in terms of your personal commitments. What I will say as well as a disclaimer, which I think is a whole different podcast in itself, is those who are married or are parents who don't have the glamorous opportunity to have a normal sleeping rhythm, to be able to engage in this spiritual discipline. So my encouragement for those who are single and in the faith and really on fire for Yah, like, cultivate this opportunity, because that won't always be there. And it's a privilege to be able to serve the Most High in that way, to be able to then really commit and say, right, I'm giving myself to this, and I've got all of the freedom, free time, more free time than we even realize, to be able to, like, really get the most out of our prayer life. So that would be my encouragement. If you don't have responsibility, like, get into it, because the fruit is there.
Amen. Yes. I'll say one thing based upon what you say, and then I want to enter into just motivation, because motivation is so important in this subject and in anything. So yes, with phones, one thing I would recommend, and it's really a strong recommendation, like, kind of a must if you want to be serious about this. Is basically get yourself an alarm clock.
Right.
Don't use your phone as an alarm, because what will happen is you will wake up, you'll go on your alarm, then you will end up scrolling on whatever social media you use, whatever platforms you do that are designed to be addictive, that release dopamine to your brain. And then you'll find you just have lost so much time, basically. And you haven't started the time right. You haven't entered into that place of thanksgiving. So yeah, one thing is, yeah, definitely try and get into a good rhythm. Like we're saying, try and turn your phone off before you go to sleep. Spend some time in prayer before you sleep. Spend some time reading before you sleep. Whatever it is, have candlelight. Let darkness come in. Let melatonin, you know, make you sleepy so you can get into a good rhythm. But sometimes he will call you to midnight prayers. So that, I'm going to deal with that later. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes, with motivation, I just want to say, like, because we're talking about how we can do this, but I just want to touch on from it, why should we do this? Why we should do this is because prayer is the life, like we said earlier, prayer is the life force of our faith. It's the blood. It's the what strengthens us. Honestly, prayer makes us strong. It makes us spiritually strong. And like I mentioned earlier, we are in a constant spiritual war. And prayer builds us up. Prayer helps us to be thankful and grateful. It lifts our mentality. It helps us. You know, some people are dealing with strongholds, with sin. Prayer gives you breakthrough. Prayer helps you. It connects you to the source of all life and all strength. And some people are going through energy problems. Some people are going through all these problems. And honestly, prayer is the answer. It's not about a person always. It's not about a teacher. It's not about a minister. It's not about someone to fix your problem. We all need to have our own relationship at the end of the day. Some people are going like, to these deliverance ministries, and I don't really have a problem with deliverance, but some people go into deliverance ministries and just like, oh, this person will pray for me and I'll be fine. But look, you can also pray. Mm-hmm. Nothing's stopping. It's not, I want to also say that prayer is not just for leaders. You know, some people go, oh, that person can really pray well, and that's what they're meant to do, and that's their anointing, and that's their, you know, their prayer warrior, and but I could never do that. No, like, stop disempowering yourself.
Right.
Each one of us is a child of God. Each one of us is a son and daughter of the Most High. Each one of us has that access to the throne room through the blood of Yeshua. It's not limited to some people. Yes, some people may be further ahead in this. Some people maybe have got a more of a calling in this, but it doesn't diminish the fact that each and every one of us, the Father wants relationship with us. Like, he created us, he designed us to have a relationship. Like you mentioned about, you know, children and first thing in the morning, and it would please their father to be like, you know, that way. And you've also got the aspect of Yeshua being like our husband. And, you know, it pleases someone when you're in love with someone that they want to talk to you, you know. So this is not just like hard and, oh, you must do this. It's a beautiful thing. Prayer is a beautiful thing. There's so many ways it helps us. And then also the limitations I want to touch on. The limitations in our mind are in our mind. They're not, like, say, what I say about we don't have enough time. I know I keep on about this, but it's really important. it's a limitation we're setting. We're right. saying and we're declaring, and the power of life and death is in our tongue, that we don't have enough time. Because nothing changed in my schedule. In fact, I probably have more happening in my schedule now with studying and working full time than I did previously. But my mind has changed. I do have time. I will make time. Right. I am having time, you right. know, with him. So it's like, yeah, the limitations in our mind, and this applies to so many things, not just prayer, but we set limitations on ourselves. We think, and the way we think, the way a man thinks he is, Proverbs. So the way you think is the way you are. If you say you can't do something, you can't do it. If you say I can do something, you'll be able to do it. And ultimately, this must come not through a place of like affirmations, but through a place of I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Which is why prayer is, again, important, because we're opening that door, that connection for him to pour his strength into us. Mm. Because sometimes, listen, I've been like fasting. I've been sleep deprived. And yet I am full of energy because I'm in prayer in that place where he's filling me up.
Right.
You know? So it's like, we just need to take off limits basically as to what we can do when it comes to this. But yeah, so be motivated. Like prayer, whatever it is you're struggling with, prayer helps. Prayer helps you in life. Back to the thing about the morning prayers, I would say it's like, this is what I realized about in the evening praying, is that you kind of like, you're running out of energy. And we know from the Torah, say, when you bring a sacrifice to the Most High, you're not to bring something lame, spotted, you're to bring the best
right.
to him, ultimately. And I kind of felt personally that it's like, I wasn't bringing him my best. I was bringing the leftovers of my energy to him.
Right.
And that wasn't good enough.
I'd go even further and get Isaiah on it and saying, I'm bringing nothing but filthy rags. Because it's like, by that point in the day, this is how I see it. It's like, if I approach and I'm prayerful in the morning, I'm giving myself the most optimum time, because I know it sounds a bit... I just basically haven't sinned as much, like either in my mind or physically, intentionally or unintentionally. It's like there's a freshness. I haven't given my brain the chance to like go through the daily worries or the narratives that I'm currently living through. Like there's a freshness to it that I think enables me to actually just have more of a I wouldn't say purity. I'd probably just describe it as a spiritual clarity to speak freely from the spirit, as opposed to like, Lord, I really need this thing today, and please take this burden off me because I need that. And it's less that, and it's more just being able to just approach and be present with how I'm led to pray. And that's more often than not, I'll start praying for other people more often than myself. Mm. So that would be my I just feel like he makes all things new each day, and there's just a nice little catchment where I haven't messed it up by being me or thinking about things that I want, or you know. So that's how I like the morning. And like you say, nothing wrong with the evenings, but by the time I may not have the energy, I may not have the ability to just let go and be free in that more. I don't know. But then some people may find that's more opportune for them. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, some people will have the energy in the evening, which is fine. I'm saying about personal experience, and this will be the case for some people that are in alignment with the circadian rhythm, that they will just find, and they work in a very, you know, fast environment. You will just find that you're not able to pray for very long in the evening. Some people have a nap and wake up and pray. There's different ways of going about it. Like I say, this is not a protocol I'm saying for everyone, but it is true. And you said about intercession as well. I do want to touch on in a minute different types of prayer, because that's really interesting as well. But just to finish what I was saying about bringing Father our best, you know, like offering him the best sacrifice, not bringing him the lame, the spotted, the things that are just kind of like, oh, you can have that. You know, we have to honor him in our prayer life. I also kind of want to touch on the fact that of tithing. This seems completely unrelated. But it's really interesting to think about, because I had this kind of revelation where I was like, you know, we know, most of us know, and it's focused on a lot in the church and on different places, that we should tithe in our money. You know, we get 10% of what we have, and we give it to the service of the Almighty. And a lot of people understand that. Not everyone practices it, but most people understand that, right?
Right.
Money, a type of currency. But what we talked about earlier, like our time management, we spend our time. And it had this revelation. It was like, time is kind of like currency.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, the free time we have. Like I said, there's a time where we're kind of not free. We have to do what we have to do.
Yeah.
Right. But the other time is time we're choosing how to spend it.
Right.
So it's a currency. And so then it becomes like, okay, well, should I be tithing my time then? Should I be giving 10% of my time to the Almighty? And it was an interesting thing I started to think about, because I was like, okay, well then how would I go about this? Like, what is a tenth of my time? Now, some people I've heard that do like 10% of 24 hours, they go, but realistically, you're not awake 24 hours. So what I did, it was like the average sleeper person should have is 8 hours, so that leaves 16 hours of waking. Uh-huh. So then if you get to 10% of 16 hours, it's about an hour and a half. And it's interesting because, you know, Yeshua is talking about the expectation of, could you not just watch with me for an hour? Like, that would be, he's not even saying an hour would be fantastic. It's kind of like, could you not just do an hour?
Right.
You know?
And on that, sorry to cut you off. So if we're looking at, because I know you want to talk about the different types of prayer, and I'm already getting a sense of like, this may not necessarily mean like you need to get on your knees in the morning for an hour and a half and that's your tenth of the tithe, of prayer tithe, if you like. It could be half an hour in the morning. And then if you break down your daily meditation at different interludes, whether it's, you know, you might have 10 minutes at lunchtime, you might even spend a couple minutes just like meditating and praying on the Lord in your own, just going about, it could possibly well add up to that amount, like within the within the course of the day. And what I like about what you're saying there is that for me it's indicative and reminds me of the Sabbath, where the Lord knows that we've got things to do and things are going on and we're busy and all of that, but he only asks us for one day of the week,
right?
You know, just one day of the week, come be with me, come rest. And that's all he's asking. He's not dictating our lives and saying you have to be like, and it's the same, like, I think a similar vibe of what you're saying there with regards to the prayer tithe time. He's just saying, look, just a little bit. I'm not saying you have to like be engaged and fasting and doing all of this stuff for like all of your waking life. Just give me that. I just want that little bit, which I think is so graceful and so lovely. And you think, actually, if I was to look at my life as a little pie chart, I've got like work 60%, breakfast 10%, and then I've got
sleep,
and then I've got sitting on YouTube looking at otters building dams or whatever. It's like, what am I doing? Like, I could give that free will offering, I could give that tithe to the Lord in prayer. Like,
yeah. So, like what you said is really good, because it's also, is talking about building an awareness of how you're actually spending your time. Because many of us are kind of like just switched off, kind of like not aware. It's like when sometimes people aren't aware of what they're eating and they're like maybe struggling putting on a bit of weight. And it's like when they start looking at what they're eating, they go, okay, there's the problem. You know, I need to manage this better. So yeah, honestly, like even do a journal for a week, trying to note down how you're spending your time and see like what is it that's taking up your time, what is it, because it is important. We're told to teach us to number our days, you know, like we have a certain amount of time on this earth that we're given from the moment we're born to the moment we die, and it's like that's all the time we have,
right?
And we don't know really how long that is. We assume we'll be 70 or whatever, but
and that's, I think that's the essence of stewardship as well. I think the older I get and the more that I see this element of what it means to be a steward, is to be responsible for your time as well, is to be aware of where it is you need to be, how things are to be managed, how you can function in a way. And it's, I always used to think that kind of stuff, being organized and on top of things, was like boring and not very spiritual. But okay. It's so many, the fruits of the spirit that you need in order to operate in a way that's pleasing to God, so that you can be disciplined. And stewarding yourself, your time and your loved ones is like, it's massive. You touched on there the different types of prayer. I'd like you to go into a bit more detail about types of prayer, whether it be personal, corporate, intercessory. In your experience, has there been like a change over the years? Has there been a correlation with regards to your spiritual maturity, time in the Word? What variables have you seen, and what impacts have you seen in terms of how you pray and the types of prayer that you find yourself doing?
Okay, well, yeah, my own journey is quite complex in a lot of ways. I guess it's be good to touch on this in different ways, though, because I grew up, and this was, I just want to make a disclaimer, some people that know me, this was my stepfather's way of teaching, and not regarding the rest of my family. But I was raised in a way that it was like there was set prayers that we were taught to say from quite a young age. I was taught them, like repetition prayers. This was in English. And it was told me by him, pray this, don't pray anything else.
Right.
So I took that quite seriously. You know, I think some things as a child, you just like, oh, you know, that's what I should do then. And so it's wrong to do anything else. So that's what it did. It was like evening prayer. Do that. It was, you know, ninth hour, third at the 3 p.m. on Shabbat, we prayed. But it was never prayers from the heart. It was never just spontaneous prayers. The only time I did that kind of prayer was actually in times of disaster. I would just cry out to him and just ask help, you know. And yeah, that made me think as well. It's like, yeah, but I didn't really develop that, and I kind of fell into a period of rebellion. Sin, and yeah, I was still practicing Shabbat and things, but there was things wrong, and then that led up to conviction, repentance, and the healing. You know, I've shared my testimony a couple of times about my healing from depression, and that was then when His Spirit really came into my life. In a powerful way, and then I began to pray more spontaneously, you know. I went through a period after I was born again where I did have time. I was blessed. I was given a grace of like time to just be in the prayer closet, a time where I saw lots of visions, a time where it was just lots of things. But in that time, I guess it was just relational praying. It was just that relationship with Him. It wasn't particularly intercessory, it wasn't particularly, I don't know, yeah. And then I guess He called me to evangelism, that became a thing. Then praying over regions became more of a thing He called me to do. So that's like territorial interceding, that's the whole field of intercession. But, and so going through those two different points, and then you know, I don't want to touch on this too much, but I did do have the gift of tongues, so then that became quite a thing later on that I was in my prayer life. But it's like, yeah, so basically now I do pray in different ways, and I also do use some Hebrew prayers, which are prayers of kind of repetition,
right.
But that's because I think there's power in the language, and it's part of our culture and these things, and also they follow quite a good protocol. But I think you can have a set prayer, but it's not right to just limit it to that, because I think maybe that's what Yeshua is referring to, like vain babblings, repetition. Mm-hmm. He does want prayer to be intimate. He does want prayer to be actually like a relationship. Yeah, and I think interceding is really important. I think thanksgiving is one of the most important things in prayer, to start with, because I think Thanksgiving really opens the door for all kinds of prayer. It's interesting too, you talk about types of prayer, because we have the Lord's Prayer was given to us, as the disciples were asking him, how should we pray? You know, and he's like, okay, well, this is a good, I don't think he was saying this is like, pray this all the time.
Right.
I mean, but it's more a case of he was giving a format, because theologians that have studied it have looked at actually the format. And I don't know whether you've heard of it, probably a lot of people have heard of this acronym of ACTS, and it outlines the different parts of the prayer.
Right, yeah.
Being the adoration. So that's kind of like this, you know, just like we say, hallowed be your name, adoring him, lifting him up, magnifying, exalting him, which is really important. And then the confession, you know, forgiveness of sins, confessing our sins, you know. And that is important that we do spend that time. And I know our minister Joe touched on that on Shabbat, of confession of our sins. So this is in prayer, but also then confessing our sins to one another. And yeah, it's really important, because if we're holding on to these things, we're not opening up. And if we're not opening up, we're not receiving help. You know, some people are dealing with maybe shame, where they're just kind of not confessing to him or to anyone else. They're just hiding it, just running away from it. But people can only break free from it when they release it, when they ask for help, when they let him into that area. Because we cannot stop sinning in our own power.
Right.
We just can't. This is why prayer is important.
Right.
Because as much as you may try, like Paul says, as much as we try not sin, as much as we try and keep the Torah, which is the opposite of sin, sin is transgression of the Torah. So we try, and we try and do what's perfect and pleasing to him. But if we're doing it in our own power, we just can't. Our flesh will always fail. And it comes back actually in what Yeshua said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You may want to do what's right, but you find yourself not doing it. So this is where we need to open up, we need to ask for help, and then his spirit can empower. So that's like confession. Thanksgiving was the other one, which is really just so powerful. You know, it's that entering in to his presence, to his throne room. And then supplication, which is, I guess, what intercession falls under. You know, I don't particularly like the word supplication, just because it has a kind of a weakness about it, I find. You know, if someone like a baby crying, like, please help, which some of us may need to do sometimes, you know. But I think it says in James, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, there's a level of, we need to sort of take authority in the spiritual realm sometimes in prayer, you know, not just to be like, please help. I think that very much comes down to knowing the word sometimes, you know. This comes back, I guess, what we're saying about devotional time, and then we can't ignore the importance of the reading of the word, because that even links into prayer.
Massively.
You know, because there's many examples of the saints, the righteous men, the prophets, standing on the promises that God has already made in prayer, reminding him, look, you promised this. Look, your word says this. And it comes back to what was brought up in a teaching by Tommy or Joe, and it's like what reminding God really is about is not that he's forgotten.
Right.
It's bringing it to, I loved what they said, that they're bringing it to like priority, like please prioritize this,
right.
You know. So very often I think the power we can get in prayer is when we're coming to him and going, look, your word says this, I know your character, you can't lie, so you must do this, you know.
Yes, yeah, it's I think they described it as remembrance, and it a call to your membership. And what I like that what you brought there with regards to, you know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Now, if you were to look at it in terms of a spectrum, and we're not talking about works-based, you know, performance. However, if you are in a form of habitual sin, or you aren't as spiritually disciplined, chances are your prayers, you may not even be praying. You know, at one end of the spectrum, you're in sin. You're full of shame and condemnation and guilt. Therefore, you can't pray for either yourself or for other people. You've got a lack of communication with the Most High, and you're suffering all around. And then you look at the other end of the spectrum, you're walking in the fruits of the Spirit, you're in great servitude to yourself and those around you. Chances are you've got a great dialogue going on with the Lord because you're in the Word, and then the Word then becomes alive in your life through confirmation, teachings, and things that are taking place in your life. Not some magical mystery tour of oh, look at the signs and wonders. Don't get me wrong, we can get into that, that's fine. But however, when the Word is alive and it's guiding your life in righteousness, then hallelujah, that's the premium spot. So for me, that's what that diet will availeth to in a positive sense. If you are able to pray for yourself, to pray for your loved ones, to intercede, to give praise, to give thanksgiving, without being in a contrived state, because you're in the Spirit, that's the optimum. And it isn't a punishment. It isn't punitive. It isn't something that we should be loathsome about. It's a joy. It's a privilege. And it's something that becomes more and more natural as you begin to harness these initial disciplines, which form into habits, which then turn into your behaviors and your loves and your joys. So I love that ACTS acronym. I think it encompasses a lot of the elements without being contrived or trying to manipulate a certain outcome, because that's how you think things should go. And I think, again, that reverts back to the beginning of how you said about, are we spiritually prepared for what the Lord has in store, both for ourselves and for others?
Yeah, there's so much what you just said that I want to touch on. The ACTS, I think why I love the ACTS acronym is because it highlights, it's not just Yeshua saying, say, our Father who is in heaven, da, 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 da. You know, it's saying, these are the ways you can pray. You can give adoration. You can bring confession. You can bring thanksgiving. You bring supplication. And then we don't just follow the same rigid thing all the time. We just see, okay, you know, I think as well, like I mentioned about journaling, you know, analyze your prayer. What is your prayer life look like? Are you just supplication? Are you just begging Father for things? Are you just giving thanks? You know, what is it you're naturally praying? And then analyze it and see, look, where are the areas I'm not covering here? You know, where are the areas that I need to like focus a bit more on? Because all of those things are important. All of those things encompass a full, whole prayer life of a disciple of Yeshua. And if we're not doing one of those things, like some people may be praying for themselves all the time. And like you mentioned, you know, sometimes let's take our trajectory and our mind to other people and their problems. And sometimes then it helps us mentally lift out of our own problems. So intercession is often a one that is kind of put on the back burner. Thanksgiving is also very often put on a back burner when that's meant to be like the beginning kind of the prayer. As well, you highlighted on that quote in James about, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it was very good what you brought about, you know, the righteous element. And we know that Proverbs speaks quite harshly about some people, that their prayers aren't even heard, you know?
Right.
If they're not following a righteous way and keeping the Torah. So that is relevant, definitely. Like, look, comes down to the heart. If your heart is not postured
right,
the right way, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't think it's about being pious. It's not that. It's, I think you said about the gratitude and your heart state. It's like if you're aware of the Lord in your life, like your heart state's different because you're just in that gratitude. It's a lot more prevalent. And again, I just want to touch on, while before I forget, the word disciple, discipline. Now, one thing that I've really come to see in this walk. Now, I was told once by a woman who used to do a lot of contemporary dancing, and she said that, shout out Yishka, by the way, she spoke about having to learn a set template. There's like almost like what's called your square. When you learn to dance, and I would apply this to any creative endeavor, whether it's art, music, whatever it is. You need to learn your square, and that normally comes through like a lot of discipline, some repetition, some boring mundane things, but it takes discipline, dedication, endurance and perseverance. Once you learn your set square, once you have your discipline, that's when the freeing, the free flow nature of what that creative endeavor will be. So whether it's artistic, whether it's musical, whether it's through dance, you can use more interpretive states. You can use your personality. You can infuse the gifts that God's given you in order to really bring to life that set template. And what I'd like to illustrate, I think this is a similar principle to prayer, is if you do some vigorous things, if you do keep a discipline for a certain period of time, and then over a period of time, the fruits of the Spirit should then envelop your prayer life, because it will become more joyful, it will become more celebratory, it will become more heartfelt, as opposed to a vigorous a vigorous process. So yeah, again, I just encourage anyone, if it feels a bit mundane and a bit difficult, then good, do it, keep doing it, and then you should see more fruit in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I just need to start writing notes really as to what I want to say, because there's so much going on right now. It's great now. Yeah, like it said, there was an earlier one to say, you know, these two things we're talking about, they're principles, and we're applying them to prayer. But these principles apply to so much in life. And it's kind of poignant, like, look at what you want to achieve. You know, what you, given a certain amount of time here on earth, stop just going through life, stop rolling out of bed, stop just going to work, you know, stop and think, look, what is it? What is it I'm created to do? What is, you know, push forward. And this, we're focusing on prayer, but you know, I could start doing motivational speech, because it's like, there's so much we can just not focus on in life. And I think it's important to have focus, and that's really the thing that comes with time management, you focus. But also I want to talk about capacity, because you mentioned that this is really the other major limitation in prayer. Say, you know, we talked about time management, but when it comes to, okay, I have the time, let's say you're on holiday, say you have the time, now you sit down, now you start praying, now what you maybe realize is you're struggling with the capacity, you're struggling to focus, you're struggling what to pray. It's like you have the time now, but it's a limitation, not so much of a time, but of focus and motivation, like getting rounds to it. You have the time, but are you motivated to do it? You have maybe the motivation, you sit down, you get there, you start praying. It happens to the best, it happens to the most anointed prayer people in the world, you know? And it's just like, especially for people that are not habitual. It's not something they're used to praying for extended periods of time. Because we're talking about extending periods of time here. Because we're talking about an hour being seen as a reasonable time to watch and pray.
Right.
And so you get to that point, and now it's what you have to face is that you're having this limitation with your focus. And you know, there are different ways we can overcome this. I think setting the intention, even, you're halfway there. You're setting the intention. You're putting aside that time. You're going, devoting this to the Almighty. And one of the things, the beautiful thing about difficulties, when we're talking about prayer, is that you can pray about your difficulties. You can literally pray, I'm here, Father, I'm struggling to pray, please help me to pray.
Right.
You know, this is what I love about prayer, because it's just like so relevant to so many aspects of our life. And it becomes a culture, it becomes something. You get in the car and you pray for a safe journey, you sit down to eat and you pray and give thanks for the food. It becomes part of your life, and that's the praying without ceasing. But in order to enter into that, you need to set some intention. So I don't know, things I recommend, I guess, it's like, don't get too frustrated with yourself, you know, give yourself grace. Even if you sit there in silence for an hour to start with, you know, or even if you sit there in silence for 15 minutes or whatever, you know, have worship music on. This is one thing that is good for like inspiring you to get into that place of prayer, I find, you know. You can alternate between praying, listening to worship, reading your Bible, letting him speak to you through the word. But it's another issue with focus is distraction, like we touched on earlier. Distraction is a big problem in our society. It's a big problem in our time period. It's a big problem in our young generations. It's just a big problem overall right now. We face the most the biggest amount of distraction that any generation has faced. And it's really, I believe, the devil using these things really efficiently and strategically against the children of God to prevent them getting to that place of prayer. Because you start getting to that place of prayer and you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That's it's just how it is. Because, I mean, that would be another podcast.
No, but do you think that, because there's one thing, to have intrusive thoughts or to have when you're trying to settle in and then you think, oh no, I need to wash my clothes. What setting? Like all that, that's all well and good. You may have to persevere through that. But I think you make the point there of modern living and a lot of the contraptions and devices may it is. And the program in Babylon is actually designed to shorten our abilities to be able to focus mm-hmm. over extended periods of time. So as children of God, that doesn't exonerate us from the very physical factors and detriments that we're facing, because it's like, oh, I'm really struggling to like spend time with the Lord and to read the word and to concentrate and to be focused on. It's like, yeah, because we've absolutely battered our senses with X, Y, and Z throughout the rest of the day. So I think it'd be good to highlight, what are you opening your gates to? And again, it doesn't have to be sinful per se. It's just, what are you physically opening yourself up to the point where you can't actually read more than a chapter, or you can't sit down for more than an hour to watch a teaching, And I position that to myself all the time, but I'd position that externally as well. Like what factors may be contributing? It may not be like a massive spiritual blockade. It's just yourself not managing your body in the right way to give yourself the best time, best chance.
Yeah, completely. Like it affects your neural pathways, it affects your ability to focus. And this is a problem academically, it's a problem in so many ways, not just when it comes to spiritual life, but it does impact a lot of young people's spiritual life, and not just young people, just broadly, really. When you get to that place where you set the intention, where you're there, there are a number of things that will get thrown at you, and one of them is distraction. Like you mentioned, it can be through your thoughts, it can be through worries. I could talk about so much thing with that, like testify. There can be unnatural sleepiness. Like, I mean, I want to touch a little bit on midnight prayers, and I really think we need to do a part two because there's just so much.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, there's very, again, like a lot of these subjects, it's so broad and there's so many different areas, and I know you've got a lot there, but I'd be more than happy to jump into it once again. If you want to touch on midnight prayers, touch on midnight prayers, and then we'll wrap up with a final word of encouragement from yourself, and we'll go from there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no. When it comes to you've got to remember that there's a spiritual war happening around us, and like I mentioned earlier, the enemy wants to prevent us to pray. He wants to prevent us to grow stronger spiritually. So when we start to do that, and especially when you're young in this, when you're just coming to it, you're not experienced, you're not mature spiritually or in the faith, you're a young convert, whatever it might be, then you're going to face the most kind of bombardment of resistance. And it can come in different forms. It can come in the form of, I didn't just say sleepiness, it's like it's unnatural sleepiness. It may seem like talking about midnight prayers, it's like, oh well, that's, it would be natural to be sleepy, but I just want to share something because the Father led me to quite a few sessions of prayer around midnight, early hours of the morning, and one thing that happened once is I was completely fine, I was completely awake, literally hit midnight, and I was struggling to keep my eyes open. I was literally struggling to keep my eyes open, and I had to really fight through it. I had to pace. I couldn't sit down, otherwise I knew I'd fall asleep, when I spent a few moments really just doing that, it just lifted. And I just had energy and I was praying until like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I know that was a spiritual attack to prevent me, because there's something spiritually significant about those hours as far as what the kingdom of darkness is operating.
It's like that's watchman hours, basically.
Yeah, yeah. That's going into deep territory, really. And it's not something I would necessarily advise for young converts. But it is biblical. I know that there's some people that, oh, it's just a bit one of those crazy things. But I was looking at it and, you know, David says in the Psalms, you know, I rise at midnight to give you thanks. You know, Paul and Silas in the prison, they were singing hymns, praising God at midnight, and angels came and there was an earthquake and they miraculously delivered from the prison. You know, there is, and in itself, this is very poignant for the Garden of Gethsemane, because again, God is calling them to pray at a time that they wanted to sleep. So that will happen to some people. He will say, look, whether it's through the word speaking to you, whether it's through a minister speaking to you, whether it's through just you are starting to hear his voice, he will call some people to pray at those times. And it's almost like it's a test sometimes, because it's a sacrifice, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like when he calls us to fast and depriving ourselves of food, depriving ourselves of sleep. Sometimes it's necessary to take us to the next level he wants us to go. And sometimes it's necessary in order to overcome demonic strongholds. Sometimes it's necessary in our lives. So yeah, it's definitely a thing that is powerful. And, you know, there's another topic of fasting and praying and the power in that. But it's like, basically, yeah, I touched on the fact of morning being prime time to pray. But also there is the thing of late night prayers and the power in that time. So that is relevant as well. It's just a case of, you can just try out different things really as well. You know, you can try out different things. And for me, it's important to get into circadian rhythm with my not being a naturally morning person.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he helps me with that. And then it's like, okay, now we've got to do this, you know. And it's like, you just got to kind of, got to be led by his spirit.
But
different times of prayer.
I really I like the dual element of the midnight hour and the as you eloquently put there with regards to the desire to sleep. And I think that can be applicable both in terms of a literal sleeping at night, but I think it's that kind of evocative of this time spiritually, where everything is geared towards keeping both believers and unbelievers alike as spiritually asleep as possible. And the naivety that we could face as believers to think that the enemy isn't working overtime to keep us as asleep as possible. So we are in the final hour, as it were. This is the Gethsemane of the end times, and this is the time when we're essentially to be as active as possible. But we want to eat that food. We want to watch that Netflix, and we want to do the what flesh. We want to do. That's the flesh. And, you know, Paul says, I do the things that I hate, but I'm still compelled to do it. So I do think that paints a really vivid picture about what Gethsemane means for us as believers on the whole. So with that being said, and I undoubtedly, because I'm having to show a lot of self-control to not go into all of these territories as well.
Fruit of the Spirit, yeah.
There will be a part two. But with that being said, have you got any final words for anyone listening in terms of encouragements for what we shared so far?
Yeah, there's one very precise word I want to share, and then maybe a more general one, just about, like you mentioned, about kind of the willpower not to fall asleep. And that's really what Yeshua is touching on this. You know, its spirit is willing. It's showing that willpower. That's why it's powerful when we're fasting, because we're showing that willpower of serious going against the natural forces, you know? And I just want to recommend to anyone, I just feel strongly the spirit's just leading. Just, you know, if anyone's struggling with something, like they've really struggled and nothing's happening, nothing's shifting, illness, whatever it is, you know, family issue, just like pray at that time. Show willpower. Show the Father that you're serious about, you really want this. And yeah, expect breakthrough, because that's what Paul and Silas did, you know. they were up at that time, even though they'd been whipped and they were sore, and they gave thanks in that, you know, the power of thanksgiving, the power of praise. It's not based upon your circumstance. Sometimes we're just praying, and this is why I say about baby prayers of like crying out, help, help. It's fine, but like get over your circumstance, reach that other place. Like, this is all temporary, this is all fleeting. This is, you know, we get too bogged in what is happening now, and the enemy throws so much at us to keep us at a kind of a low place mentally, and we need to kind of transcend that and reach that heavenly place to focus, keep our eyes fixed on Yeshua. And I guess this is my general word. Keep your eyes fixed on Yeshua, you know, focus on, it's not your problems, it's not the giant that's before you, but the God that is greater than that giant.
Amen.
And pray from that place. Pray from that place where your enemies are under your feet. Pray from that place where you're in Yeshua and he's in you. You know, don't pray from a place of being lost. You're not lost, you know? So yeah, that's what I want to share.
Beautiful. Hazel, it's always a pleasure, and I really appreciate you coming on to share your thoughts and your heart, and I'm sure that this will bless those that listen to it, and no doubt we'll have you back on to go further into this, because it is such a vast topic, and hence why we need these platforms to be able to even like scratch the surface. So yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Hazel. As ever, thank you guys for joining us. Hope and pray that this reaches you all well. I hope you're getting excited for Shavuot, Pentecost, because it's just around the corner. But again, from our house to yours, Shalom. We love you. God bless.
Shalom.